Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. We're live tonight. This is February the 3rd, 2012. And we just got back from our cruise. That's why we weren't on last week. And it was really nice to have some downtime after all this traveling. And we're getting ready to do some more traveling. So you'd like to have a little time when at least you don't have to be lecturing, giving classes, and answering phones and doing emails. So it was nice to be on the ocean for a week anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, tonight we're just going to be, I'm going to be answering some questions that some of the readers and the listeners have sent in by email. So if anybody out there wants to call in and ask questions, this is a perfect night for it because we're just going to be discussing a lot of different topics, and we'd like to have some input from the rest of you. I think that makes it interesting. So if anyone wants to call in, it's 1-888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And that's the toll-free number if you want to call and ask questions. Okay. See, we're going to be here for another this week and next week.
Right.
And then we take off again. We'll be gone for a whole month. I'm giving a class in L.A., and that's from the 13th through that whole week.
Yeah, we only have like two or three positions left in that class. So
it's really getting full.
Yes, it's filling up very quickly. It's almost sold out.
It's going to be a big class.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we told you, we used to have a three-day class. And we've changed it to 5 days now because we've added some time for the people to practice on each other.
Right.
We didn't do that before. We just had the class and turned them loose, and they were supposed to practice
right.
afterwards.
Right, they go practice. And that's one of your biggest barriers in any class, anything new that you teach, is that you're reluctant to go try it. There'll be a certain percentage that are gung-ho, and they will. They'll do anything. But there's lots that don't. And, I mean, when I was studying the energy work, it took me 3 years to practice for the first time.
That's a long time.
That's a long time. And I didn't think, I was scared to death because I had built it into something, you know, and I just wouldn't do it. And so, and then with this technique, we found that also people are reluctant to go out and put it out there that, okay, I can do this or I want to practice or whatever. And so then it builds into something that they're afraid of. So
yeah.
Like, okay, we'll just hit it head on. We'll just
yeah, we always tell them to go practice on your friends and family because they're there, and they usually are, you know, mm-hmm. say they want to be a guinea pig. And so we tell them to do that, but then they are afraid to go out and do it on anybody else. And then I've had some that have taken the level two who are still afraid to try it. They want to get mm-hmm. more information before
right.
they attempt it. And you're not going to learn until you go and practice.
Yeah, you just have to practice. You just have to go ahead and get through that, and that's where we'll just address that right off the bat, you know. And then that's why we're doing that.
I think one of the last classes we gave in Australia that last night, you know, after mm-hmm. we gave the demo, and then the next morning I was going to give the demo, but the last night of it, some of them did go back to the hotel rooms and practice, and the next morning they were telling what they had found. So some of them do it.
Right, a certain percentage do, and that's fantastic, you know, and that's what you want, but we want everybody to experience that. So
that's mm-hmm. why we've added two more days to the class so that they can have a day to practice. We're going to have them pair off.
We're going to have them break off into threes, you know, and then that way, then they'll always have someone's being the
observer.
So you'll have the hypnotist, I don't know what you call it, the client.
The victim, I always
yeah. the client, the hypnotist, and an observer. Mm. And so that way everybody gets to have those roles, and they can see it from all the different angles. So
they're going to have to pair off with each other, figure mm-hmm. out who they're going to mm-hmm. work with mm-hmm. during the first part of the class.
Right.
Then the last day, we'll have feedback on what they have found.
Well, it'll probably, that's part where it'll be That's the part we still have to fine-tune exactly how we're going to do that. But, yes, it'll be on the, it'll be either the last day or the end of both days or something. So.
But the LA class is the first one that we're going to go with the 5 days.
Right. So this is our guinea pig 5-day class.
It may be a little rough to even get all the raw edges worked off of it, but I think it'll work.
Oh, it will. It will.
And this class now includes the certificate.
Yes.
Do you want to tell them about that?
Well, we now have a professional certification so that you are certified to be a practitioner and you're backed by the Vocational Institute of Florida that you are officially an instructor for now.
Yeah.
And so that way you don't have to go out. We just had a lot of people kept saying, well, I need to be certified. I need to be certified. And some people, that they're hung up on that. You don't need to be in this. But we've gotten this backing so that people will feel that when if they need it. And so everybody, the course now includes that for everyone. So it's just, you're going to be back no matter where you are in the world.
And this school in Florida has been there for, what, 25, 35 years, you said?
In the 80s, I think it was.
It's natural, natural medicine.
Alternative thing.
Natural medicine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So now we're a part of that, and so we can give certification and the continuing ed. We've always given continuing education hours, but it's just getting bigger now.
Right.
And more official, if you want to put it that way.
Well, it's just, it's part of, and that's the other thing, is we've created now an entity for the school. I mean, we're, it's an official school now, your whole teaching. It's the Quantum Healing Hypnosis Therapy Academy, or the Quantum Healing Academy. It's an official school, and that's, you know, all of this. Yes, it's becoming more professional, whatever. It's, you know, it's just grown into this. It's taken on a life of its own.
Well, the ones who have taken the classes over the years, they are still, you know, they were authorized to be a practitioner, and it always takes practice on anything, and so they can do it. It's just, this gives it a little notch up, a little more.
Right. It's the backing. So if they, it's just the backing. They, you know, before that, it's like, you know, they've never had any problems. Just some people within their state, they feel like they have to have it or they do need it. So it's there now.
Yeah, and this certification is good all over the world.
All over the world.
Yeah, so people were asking us at the classes, what about their states, and and it's supposed to be good everywhere. In other countries, too. So this is going to be a big step forward.
It doesn't matter where they are. Now, there's a lot of countries. It's like Russia was asking me, saying they don't think they need that. That's fine. If you don't need it, you don't have to have it. Don't go for it. You know. But now it's included with the class. So that you're going to get it whether you need it or not.
Well, there's always some people that take the class that aren't even going to ever use it.
Right.
They just do it out of curiosity, or they may just do it among people they know, and that's okay, and they don't feel they need certification. But we've had many, many now who have taken the class that are making this their profession, their way of life.
Right.
Because they're having wonderful results.
Absolutely. And it's a bona fide career.
Yeah, so. Because they are doing having the same results that I'm having.
Right. And it's be a very rewarding career, because look at all the help you give people. So.
Yeah, and it's really wonderful to see the results that you have. And but this class, the next class, is going to be in L.A., and that's the 13th through that February, through that week.
Actually, it'd be the 14th through the... The 13th is the level 2 class.
Oh, we're having the level 2 class first. Right. We always do that so that people won't want to take them both. We want them to practice.
They want to take them both, but this will not allow them to. They have to practice before they take the level 2. So
otherwise, it's confusing. They get too much information. And it's
well,
like
it's not that it's that. It's just they don't get the full benefit of the level 2 if they have not practiced. That's really what it is. It's not that it's too confusing. It's you do not get the benefit, because the benefit, the true benefit, is in everybody sharing their experiences and then you understanding what other people are getting because you've practiced yourself. Well, if you haven't, then none of that is of value to you, and you've missed the whole point. So.
Because then they know, the ones talk about the problems they're having and some of the things they've questioned. And it's better that way if we have the level 2 first. And then we have the level 1. But anyway, that's the next one, is in L.A.
Right.
Then from there, I think it's the 19th? It's the next week. We go to Kona on the big island of Hawaii, and that's a beautiful setting there, right by the ocean where we're going to have the class.
Right.
And that is the same way. It's going to be a whole week.
Right, yeah. That's how all the classes are now. So
we're going to have time to kind of smooth off the rough edges by this time.
Right.
And then Julia's coming back, and I'm going on to Shanghai, and we're going to be having a class there, which is always a little more difficult because you have the translation. It makes it take longer. So we'll see how that's going to work. Then I was supposed to come back, but then they asked me to come down to Singapore, and we were just at Singapore in October. And gave a class there, and they said, can you just come back and do one day level two? They had a whole lot of people that were interested. So I'll be coming down from Shanghai and just do one day in Singapore and then come home. So I'll be back here about the middle of March.
Right.
So we're going to be on the road again, and we're teaching a lot of people. And we are starting up with a forum. Do you want to tell them about that? Because these are the ones who listening have probably already taken the class. They might be interested in that.
Right. Well, we had the forum for a while, and then we closed it down for a little bit to give our moderators a break because the one had been working 3 years nonstop, 24/7. Bless her heart. She went to bed with that phone. She was always, always taking care of everything.
But the forum is so the students could have interaction. We don't leave them out there.
It was a support group. It was, for everybody to help them.
Yeah, we don't leave them out there to dry. If they have questions, they could contact the group and ask questions and get help. But now we've refined it and taken it to another level.
Absolutely. It wasn't a Yahoo group, but then it had a lot of limitations. Now it's in a vanilla forum group. Anybody who knows forums would understand this. I just know it's a different structure, and it allows so much more to be done with the group. And a lot of the things that are different, there's still going to be the interaction among everybody. But now you're providing, it's actually a form of continuing education for the practitioners because you're coming in, they have questions. Kind of things that don't come up all the time. So, and then plus they have in there too, they have frequently asked questions. They have, it's just, we're all structured in a way where it's very easy to get the information. But now you're coming in every 2 weeks answering questions that they've submitted that really need, addressing. And so it's really wonderful that you're in there so frequently. So,
I'll back up a little bit here. We were talking about our moderator, Candace, who did a tremendous job. But like she said, she was really overworked, and she did it out of a labor of love.
Absolutely.
But she has been doing this a long time with the technique, and she knew what she was doing. So in order to help her, we now have other moderators all over the world who are going to be, I guess, taking care of those parts of those countries.
They don't take care of that part of the country. It's on the internet.
Okay,
I take care of everybody.
They were focusing on their area.
No.
But this way, it takes the pressure off of one person. We have several, and these are all some that have done lots and lots of cases, and have been doing it long enough that we think they know how it's done. And
they're absolutely a wonderful support system for the practitioners. And now Candace is the director of the whole thing, so because she definitely knows how the whole thing works,
and they will be able to answer most of the questions. But if the questions come up that are not the frequently asked ones, and if they have cases they have trouble with and don't understand, then we will always answer them.
Right.
But we've just started this now. When there people are sending in some questions that are a little, difficult. They're a little more than the average practitioner will get, and they wanted me to answer those. So we've been filming. I think we told you we built a studio up here right next to the publishing company office and the warehouses. We built like a little TV studio. And so we can film there. So we are filming the questions and the answers, and those will be on this forum.
Yeah.
And all that's going to start up very soon, isn't it?
It's Yeah, they've already launched. This week they started, they launched it, the new forum, and they're inviting everyone and to come in. And this is only available to graduates of your class, of the quantum healing.
Yeah.
And so they're coming in now. Now, as far as the videos, yeah, I think they have like a beginning one, and then they'll put them up every 2 weeks, because every 2 weeks you'll be answering questions. So.
Okay.
They would like it more often than that, but we had
with us traveling and everything,
exactly.
And we have so much to do, it's
exactly.
Really hard.
Right.
Oh, I had something I was thinking about there. She was talking about that part. What was it? I can't read my mind. But anyway, if they, it'll come back. It always comes back. But that's what we're doing now. This is growing, and it's taken on a life of its own.
Mm-hmm. Every part of the company.
Oh, everything is growing. The publishing company is growing. We're publishing more and more books. They're having reaching more people. And the office in England has really...
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'd like to put a shout-out on the office in England. It had the books finally arrived, and the flyers are out, so they've actually, yesterday, they started fulfilling the first orders there. So that office is officially in movement.
So that's for people in Europe.
UK, yes, uh-huh. UK.
Europe, and, well, the UK.
Yeah,
and
part of Europe, uh-huh.
And if they, because sometimes it costs more for postage to order from the States.
Right, especially since our postal rates just went up. So it's even, it will be a better deal just to order right from there. So.
From that office in the UK. And they can be sent direct, and it'll be a lot better deal.
Right. Yes. And then probably I'm going to venture out here. Probably within the next year, we'll have an office in Australia as well. That's just a given that's going to have to, that has to be another location.
We have so many practitioners in Australia, but then also we have a lot of people that want the books, and it is hard because of the shipping.
Right.
And they could cost more money to have it that way.
Yeah, so that's where the UK office is kind of a model for us to figure out how to do this, and then we'll set up the other one. And we may have other sites, who knows?
Oh,
I'm not limiting our growth.
No, because it is growing and everything is changing. We started doing this because to try to keep me from traveling so much.
Right.
Because these trips are not easy when you're on the road continually for so many months at a time. And we thought if we could turn the TV studio into like live streaming.
Right, and that is where we're going. We'll start doing online classes. We're going to work toward launching that maybe in May. That's my goal. We'll see how close we get to it. And then maybe also even having... put lectures out there, like shorter ones maybe or something that will start feeding onto the internet, maybe through our site. We'll figure all that out. But, yeah, it's a way for you to reach out there without having to physically go all the time. So
we're trying to work in some way that I can do the classes. I'd like to be able to see the students, and maybe we can fix that up to where I could see the ones who are taking the classes and we can have interaction with them. But the way things are going nowadays, the computers, the internet, the new technology age is moving so fast that nothing is out of the realm of possibility anymore.
Right.
But that would be easier on me than have to do those 10, 12, 14-hour flights. Those are really hard. They're hard on the body, being in that pressurized cabin for so long.
Right. And then this way, you'll probably do just maybe one or two long trips a year, big trips a year, and then that's it. You know, and that's what we've got to work you back to, because that's it is. You've been out there on the road a long time. So, you know, we need to change it.
And there are so many countries that want me to come and give the classes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're going to China for the first time.
Right.
My books are in Chinese, but I've been to Hong Kong and Singapore, but I've never been on mainland China.
Well,
this will be the first time for Shanghai.
Right, and then also in the fall, we'll be doing class in Helsinki and in Germany and Italy. See, those are all new areas, so that's where we're really trying to look at other areas. So.
Mm-hmm. So it will be spreading out. But if you want to know about these classes, you can check on our website, and it has a list of all these things.
Right.
You want to tell them which website you want to check?
Oh, to DoloresCannon.com.
That's easy.
Well, that's one that has all the lists.
Okay,
it,
you can move it over to that.
Well, yeah, right. The other site will tell you to go to DoloresCannon.com. It'll link you over it, so you might as well. That's the easier one to remember for your things anyway. So
okay, then it has the list of the schedule.
You just go, the button will say hypnosis classes. We can't make it any easier than that.
Okay. So the other schedule has to do with the lectures and all of that.
Right.
Because even though we are reaching huge crowds of people at our lectures, this will reach even more.
Reach even more, and that's our goal, is to reach even more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without you having to physically go to all these spots, you know, we'll just reach out with the internet.
So. It's amazing. But we used to say it would be nice if we could be like Star Trek and just beam me up, Scotty, and then just be there. You don't have to spend all that time on the plane.
Right. Well, this is one way of doing it.
We haven't got to that point yet. But
pretty close, though, with this.
We'll
just project a holographic image of you. They've done that on some shows. I've seen it. It's a picture. It's not the live person somewhere doing it, I don't think. But so, who knows? We can do something.
Yeah, we have every time we need somebody to help with this, they just suddenly appear.
Mm-hmm.
The right person, the right has the knowledge and the expertise. They just suddenly appear, and they're there to help advance this.
That's right. That's how it's always been.
Yeah. So we don't worry about it because we know it'll always be taken care of.
Right.
Okay. So this is what our goal is. That everything really is changing and growing, and it's amazing. It's hard for me to keep up with it. Of course, I'm busy writing books, too.
Exactly, and that's what we want you doing.
And the rest of you are taking care of the technical parts of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was me, only part of the computer that I know is the email and how to write on. I don't know these other parts. So it's better to have somebody else running that division.
That's why you have, why you have a staff.
So. And the staff is even growing.
Yes, it is. The needs grow, the staff grows.
But anyway, that's where things are right now. We are growing and we're having these classes. But like she said, the one in L.A. is just about full. So if anybody wants in that, they better jump now.
Yeah.
Or they have to go to Hawaii.
Right, or wait till Arkansas, which will be in
July, I think you said.
July, yeah.
Yeah. Because we'll be having our conference, our seventh conference.
Right, and it'll be right after that. I promise everybody this weekend I will have all the information on the website about the conference. I've just been running ragged, and I haven't gotten it up yet. We do have our dates. It's July 13th through the 15th. So it's the second weekend in July. So at least you know that much.
It was moved from June.
Right. The venue did not have an opening in June, so we moved it to July. And that actually worked out better for a lot of people. So hopefully it works for everybody out there. So.
And then you decided to have the class immediately after it.
Right.
For those who maybe wanted to do both.
Exactly.
Come to the conference and then just stay another week and take a class.
Right.
Instead of making two trips.
Right.
But our keynote speaker for the conference is going to be Arun Gandhi. And he is one of our authors, but he is the grandson of Mahatma Gandhi.
Great-grandson? Grandson or grandson?
Grandson.
Yeah, grandson. I don't know why I was thinking great.
It's grandson of Mahatma Gandhi. And our very first conference we did when we started all of this, the conference, we had him.
Right.
And we had about 50 people or so. And now.
No, we had 100. Our first conference, we had 100.
And it just keeps growing and growing. We have bigger crowds than that every year. But he's going to be the keynote this year. And he's the only one of Gandhi's family who has carried on his work. And he has the Gandhi Foundation for Nonviolence. And he travels as much as I do all over the world speaking to, especially to young people. He's trying to get the message of nonviolence out. He speaks at high schools and colleges. He's a wonderful person.
Yes, he is.
He's our keynote this year, and we're going to also have many other speakers.
Yes.
It's a 3-day conference.
Right.
Most of them are our own authors.
Right.
And as we get closer, I'll be having them as guests on the show. They'll be interviewing each one, and you'll find out about all of them. So, I don't know if there's any downtime here at all.
There isn't.
But if some of you can't get in the L.A. class, you may want to come to Arkansas. That's in the middle of the United States, so it's easier to come from either direction.
Right.
And that's going to be right after the conference, the middle of July.
Right.
Okay. All right, then I guess, but anybody out there wants to call in, come on and do it. I've got some questions that have come in over the internet, the email, and these questions, I've been collecting them. They come from all over the world. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Some of them listen to the show, and other ones are just on the internet, following with YouTube, mm-hmm. and all the other shows I've done on there, and some of them have just read all the books. And some of them are just starting out. They're just getting into this, and it's kind of blowing some of their minds. So,
I wanted to give you a little thing. I talked to a man this morning. He called ordering a book, and he talked about he was ordering Three Waves. He said he already had Convoluted Four. He just said he'd already read it like three or four times.
Mm-hmm.
He said every book he reads many times.
There's a lot of information.
Amazing thing is every time I read it, there's new things. And I said, yes, that's how they're done that way, and that's how they have said they're designed in a way to give you layers of information. And so, but he was. I said, we need feedback. How is it? And he goes, oh, it's a fantastic book.
They're all saying that because I didn't know because I told you I was on a deadline to do it and doing it while I was on the road traveling, and I was a little worried about it.
Right.
But everybody thinks it's as good as the others and maybe even better. But that's what one of the problems is always when you're trying to keep it going. But
you just write your truth. That's all
I write
do.
What I get.
That's right.
But there again, I lost another thought.
You were starting to talk about questions, and I interrupted you.
Okay, yeah, but it is interesting when they call in and tell us. I know what it was. He's talking about there's things in the books you find.
Right.
I was at one conference about a year or so ago. I think it was Convoluted 2 or 3 was out. It was the only one that was out at that time. And these people who were putting on the conference came up to me the next morning, and they were talking to me, and they said they like to read to each other in bed before they go to sleep. And they were reading, it was one of the convoluted books, and it was on the last chapter at the very end, and he was talking about some things I had said in there. And what he was telling about, I was thinking, I don't remember writing that. And I said, are you sure that was in the book? Of course, I so much I don't remember it anyway. But he said the funny thing was they were reading it and they were discussing it. This is an interesting concept. Then they put the book down and went to sleep. The next morning they got up and looked at the book again. That part wasn't even in the book. So it's like they are playing with things and they insert information for whoever needs it, I guess.
Well, didn't they tell you? They said. What did they tell you? They told you about how the books are written.
Yeah, you know who, those out there who follow the show, you know who they are. They said there are many different levels of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things between the lines that I don't even know was there.
Right.
That one person will read one thing one way, another person will read it another way. But there's more information between the lines and in among it than I even know. So that would explain why some people read it again and again and get something different each time or more. But it's interesting when it disappears.
Right. Well, it could have been, that was another dimension.
Yeah. Just there for them. And then it just evaporated again. Maybe somebody else will pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, the books are amazing. That's what they said. There's a different kind of energy in them. And people, when they hold them even, they're getting that energy transmitted to them.
Yep.
Well, since I got back, too, I'm still doing clients in addition to everything else, and the information keeps coming from them. And I've been doing other radio shows. I'm doing a lot of Skype. Videos and audios, of other people are asking me to be on, so I don't have very much downtime when I'm not doing anything. But I know one of the shows, they were asking about reincarnation and karma. Even this young man last week, or was before we went to on the cruise, the one man was talking about the part with Michael in the book where he was a woman and he was murdered by his husband, her husband. And in this life, she came back as her father.
His father.
His father, because he murdered him in that life to give him life again. And on one of these shows, they were asking about that. Do you ever have people change roles around like that? And I said, it's very common to come back with the same people, and that's what karma is, trying to repay whatever you've done in the other life. Doesn't always mean you killed me, so I got to kill you. That keeps the wheel of karma going. But I just had a case in this last week was like that. This man, his mother and father, his father was, I think he was very old when he was born. He was 25 years older than the mother, and she had several children by him. And so she stayed with him, till he died, and he died in his 90s. Well, we went to regression, and in the regression, the same family, the father and the mother, and this client was a little boy. And in that regression, the mother killed the husband. And then, she threw the body into the ocean or something, so she never wasn't discovered, and she just kept on living the rest of the life. But it was to show they came back in this life, the karma was between the husband and the wife. So they were husband and wife again, and the karma was between them. But you see how it's done. She didn't get out of it this time. She had to take care of him for many, many years, until he finally died. So that's called the soft way. Rather than killing them, you have to be with them and take care of them. So it's really interesting the way these karma and relationships all interweave. I have many of them like that, where they change roles. You're not always going to come back with, maybe you were very much in love with your husband or your wife in another lifetime. You think you're going to come back in the same role. Next time, they may be your mother or father, or your daughter or son. Mm-hmm. It's just whatever part they want to play. That's the interesting thing about
it.
But some of the clients, this is a new idea to them, a new concept when these things come up in the session. Okay. this one question I got came from Australia. And she says she's new to all of this, and I can believe it because the question to me is rather basic. And see, that's the thing. In some of my books, be some information, and then there will be other information in other books. And unless you're reading them all, which some people say they are, all 17, you may not find the answer right away.
Right.
But it's in there somewhere. I just have to remember it all. But this one did say she just found out about the work. So the question is rather basic, but I figure it might be good to ask it anyway. She was talking about the creators and all of this. So I think that was when she heard one of my shows or something. I don't remember how she found me. But she says, why do we accept this challenge to learn through physicality? To go through pain and suffering coupled with happiness, there has to be an end result. If in the end we are going back to where we came from, is it simply to appreciate what we have because we know what it's like to be separated? What's the ultimate goal of this game? Why do we have to challenge, have the challenge of the pain and suffering and everything? Well, remember, you chose it.
Right.
And that, to me, is a basic question, because when you're on the other side and you're making your plan, come back, and you're making your contracts with the other people, you choose these things to pay back from or whatever.
Pay back or just plain experience?
Sometimes just to see what it was like.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said everything is what you learn from it.
Right.
And maybe you never had a life where you were really, had pain or suffering. And they said, well, now right. It's time to see what it's like.
And if I recall, I don't remember which book it's in, you asked that question. You said, you have all this information available to you on the spirit side.
Yeah.
So why come here if you have it all? And didn't they say you learn so much faster because of the emotions?
That's what I was going mm-hmm. to get to, because they said they go to schools over there,
right.
too, and they learn a lot of information. All knowledge that ever was and ever will be is over there, especially in the libraries and the schools. So I said, well, if you can learn so much there, why do you have to come to Earth? Because it's harder, and it's denser. It's a lot harder to live in the physical body, and then you forget. And they said, because you learn faster. Mm-hmm. It's like book learning versus hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you went to college and was studying chemistry, you might read the books and think you understand it, but you don't really understand it till you go in the laboratory and start mixing the chemicals and really doing the work. The same way with working on an engine of a car. You can read the book on how the engine is put together and how it works, but until you go and actually tear it apart and put it back together again, you don't really understand it. So that is the main thing of coming into the body, is you have to experience this. And over there, when they're making their plan and making their contracts, they'll say, oh, I can do that. Love, hate, envy, jealousy, that's not too bad. I understand it. I can do it. No big deal. Yeah, until you get here and you're actually experiencing it, you're feeling it, then it's not objective anymore. That's the difference between the book learning and the hands-on. You are really feeling those emotions, and you're going through the pain and the lessons that you have to go through. But I always tell people, everybody has something bad in their life that happens, but that's life. And I always ask them, did you learn anything from it? If you learned even one thing, that was the reason for having the experience. So that's what she's talking about. Why do we have to do it? It's because when we left the source, when we left God, we were sent out to learn everything. He said, go, my children, have all the experiences, learn all the lessons you can, and then bring them back. So everything, we have to experience everything. That's why they said there's no bad and there is no good. It's all lessons and experiences. Everything is energy. And people ask about negative things. It's all energy, and it's all in the way the energy is used, how the person chooses to use it, if they choose to use it in a negative way. But that doesn't mean that, I mean, God is total love.
Use it or see it. Two people may have the exact same experience, and one will see it as a negative experience, and the other will see it as a positive experience.
Or a progressive.
Right.
Experience.
So, it's in how you react, it's how you look at the whole thing, how you embody it. It's not necessarily just how it's used, it's how you utilize it, maybe. So,
yeah, because it's never easy, because we do have bad things that happen in our life, and we can't understand why. We say, why did God allow this to happen? God has nothing to do with it.
It's all you. All you, baby.
So, you're the one who experienced all of
this. The orchestrator.
Uh-huh. You experienced the whole thing. You set it up to learn from. And when you're over there making your plan, they show you all these different possibilities you can do in your next life. And you're looking at them, and you make the decision which one you want to do, which one you're ready to learn, which stage of the game you're going to be at, and you're the one that chooses it. In one regression, I think it's in Convoluted 4, they said, showing her all these possibilities. I don't want to be the Eskimo this time. I don't think I want to go to war. But then they said, what difference does it make? I'm going to have to do them all anyway. It's just in what order am I going to have to do it in? So everything, if you start looking at things in that way, everybody's life is something they're learning. And you can never know what another person's plan is. You don't know what it is they're trying to learn. You don't know what their other lives have been. You don't know what all that is about because they don't know themselves. That's why you have to let them...
Not on the conscious level. We're talking conscious level.
The conscious level is the stupidest... How we say the conscious mind is the stupidest part of the human being. Well, to go along with that, this letter... I got an email from Thailand. So they emailed me from everywhere. And this one, I think we're going to have enough time to go through this one. It'll be a little long. And this is in convoluted form. Last week, the last show, I talked about the concept of AIDS and HIV and how that was intended to teach judgment.
Right.
And never even
raise
thought of that.
Consciousness starting judgment.
And we never even thought of that. But then we have another concept that's in convoluted form that I'd never heard of. Each one of the convoluted series always comes up with another mind vendor, several of them, that they decide to throw out to me. Here's another one for you to think about. This one that was put out to us in convoluted form deals with the backdrop people. Now, that's a name I'd never heard anywhere else, the backdrop people. And when I asked them to explain it, I'm still not sure if I've got it all right. I think there's much more to this that I'm going to have to learn. Me might have to help with this, is try to make it as simple as possible. You know, we are in a play. You're in a movie. You're in a play. That's all life is.
Right.
You're just playing the part.
Right.
And you have all the ones.
We selected the part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all the people that are with you are the ones who are playing their parts, and you've made the contract. They're all playing their roles. Well, they said when you cast a movie, you have all these other people that are called the backdrop people. They are the ones that are the extras that are hired on for the movies, the ones that just fill the background. They're usually, you see them in movies where they're just milling around, you know, they're just there for atmosphere, I guess you would say. They don't really have a speaking part, or they're not a main character. Well, these are the backdrop people, are the ones in your own life who are just there. Oh, the crowds that are all around you everywhere you go. If you go into, I said now than every time I go into an airport or a mall or anything where there's a lot of people, like on that cruise ship, I kept thinking, gee, look at all the backdrop people. That they're there to just fill this space, I guess you would be. This was a little hard to understand because they said these people are not real people. Now, that's the mind bender. They said they're energy. Everything is energy. And that these people are just energy in forms. And they're just there for your play, your movie, your interaction. But then, I think you asked me, we've done some discussion on this, because this can get pretty deep. You asked me, well, what happens if you talk to one of those? You interact with them. Does that bring them out of the background?
In a movie, it does.
Yeah, you give them a little speaking part or something.
Now they're more than just an extra.
Didn't you say that when you were in the airport in Boston?
It was in, it wasn't Boston.
Philadelphia.
It was Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. You had something happen that reminds you of that.
Yeah, I don't know, because I'll get to that in a second. When you first start talking about the backdrop people, I was feeling like, okay, it's everybody, you know, you are the star of your own play. You are the central figure. So in that respect, everybody around you is, an adjunct to that, and you'll have your background. So it's like, in essence, we are background to somebody else. But then you said, no, when you wrote the book, it came out, and the exact description of it wasn't quite like that. So I'm
still
trying to
wrap
my...
But you have other main characters in your life that you have cast in those parts.
Right.
But the others are just filling space.
Right. Well, it's all an illusion anyway, so I guess it's along that line, you know, just we create how we want it to be anyway. But yeah, that trip to, I was going to Boston, and I was held up in Philadelphia. And It was a trip. I wasn't really sure why I was going on it. I was going to see a speaker, and I wasn't real clear in my head. I was just going because someone else recommended it to me. And so I was like, okay, I'll just go. I'll just see. Not fully invested in it. You know, and usually I know what I'm going to be doing, and that one I didn't really. I mean, I knew I was going to this, but didn't really know why. So I'm going. So then we get to Philadelphia, and everything's just stopped. I mean, everything. All flights are stopped. Nothing's flying out. And Boston, nothing was flying out of there either. So there was just no movement whatsoever. Everything was just stopped. And I thought, well, shoot, I'll just see if, you know, maybe I can get on a flight in the morning. And they're like, no, nothing. Those flights are already booked. There's not a flight until tomorrow evening.
The ones that are held up.
Right. It's like the next evening was the first flight. Well, that means I've missed half of what I was going for. I thought, well, that's not going to work. I'll just stick it out and wait. So I'm just sitting around the airport. I mean, everything is stopped. And that was just the strange. It was for rain or something. But and so I was sitting there doing crosswords or something. And all of a sudden it came to me, you know, what, you know, there's a reason for this. Why have you created this? And so I was like, oh, I need to look at, yeah, I created this. Why did I do that? And so I started thinking about how I had been thinking about the trip, and I realized I was in a limbo about it. And so...
Not sure if you wanted to go
exactly,
or not.
I was totally in a limbo and didn't know what I wanted with it. And... so I did this, you know, I created
a limbo.
Right, I created a limbo where nothing is moving. And so I thought, oh, okay, well, then I changed it, my thoughts. I said, well, no, wait a minute. Look, I really want to go see what this person has to say. I would like to see what they have to say. You know, I don't have a problem with that. That's why I'm going. I want to see that. I just, you know, I just don't know them. That's why I'm not sure about it. But I do want to go. And so then about 15 minutes, I got up and went back over to the gate to see if there was anything. Well, they had shifted gates on me. And then they're like, okay, but now go because they're loading now. So I went and I got there. Sure enough, they're calling them and everything's moving. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And then you were like, well, and then I'm thinking, well, what did these other people, you know? Okay, I created this. I see that. Well, what did they do to create it? And then that's when we were talking, well, maybe they were just your backdrop people. So
doesn't mean this is a hard concept. But let me read. This just came in just this last week from this one of my fans, I guess it is, in Thailand. I won't even attempt to pronounce her name. Look at that. It's longer than your name. But she says, I must have mentioned this on another show or maybe one of the things on the YouTube about the backdrop people. She says, when Dolores mentioned backdrop people, I feel that I may need to share my own information. For example, the Japanese tsunami that hit with the earthquake. The first time I saw this news on TV, a voice in my head told me this is only an example.
Okay.
That's interesting. And I know that I have to watch and learn from this event. Because that's what they say. It's not real. It's not in your world.
Right.
Now, then the next, she said, I am in India, seeing all the disabled and poor people every day. And something came into my mind that this is to show me the sufferings so that I can learn and develop my mind. So with all of these thoughts back and forth with the situation in Japan, not just tsunami, but nuclear bombs, rapid technology development, how compassionate the Japanese were at the time of crisis, how disciplined they were. Something tells me to question, is Japan here on this earth as a guidance, as an example of how people should follow? Well, she sees in Thailand, very close. The people in India, are they there to teach us about suffering and to let go of materialism and ego? And be more compassionate to one another. So that looking at things, everything that happens, it's got a reason.
Right.
What are you learning from it?
You created it.
Yeah, and sometimes it creates fear.
Mm-hmm.
If you see these things, oh, what if it's going to happen here or something? Or, like she said, you may feel compassion. Or look at it and say, what is that trying to tell me? What is that
right.
teaching me?
Yeah.
Because she says here, anyway, I felt I had to write to Dolores. Perhaps this is the answer to this new concept of backdrop people. I haven't heard them named that yet, but to me, they are there for us to learn from and to help us ascend.
Well, and that you did say that in the book, that they were there to help ascend. That's part of why they have some of their energy, how did you word it? They might be angry because they are not part of that, but they are there to help us, or whoever is in that role mm-hmm. to ascend, they're there to help. So,
but everything is energy anyway.
Absolutely.
And it all depends on how you use it, how
you see
it.
And that's why I feel like, I think why I get nervous about this concept is, to me, it's another place for people, it'd be so easy for people to get into a judgment thing. Oh, you're a backdrop person. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you can see, people do that. Oh, you're not going, but I am.
Oh, yes.
Da da da. You know, it's like that, again, on this level and this consciousness, we have no idea. We do not know. We cannot tell. We cannot see. So judgment out the window. Forget it. You are not in a position to know anything. The higher you does, but this one here, nothing. So you live your life to the fullest, with love and gratitude and everything, as if, whatever. Because we don't know who's who and what their plan is or anything. You know?
And you don't know why that person is, why these situations have been put in your path to learn from.
Right. But you can get an idea, but you don't know fully.
No, not until you're on the other side.
Exactly.
Then you look back and say, oh, that's why that happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, that's why I think this is a new concept that's been dropped on me, and I did as best I could to explain it in the book, but I know there's going to be more coming, and this letter mm-hmm. is a good example.
Right.
But, of course, the book was written. I couldn't put
mm-hmm.
it in there. I
right.
kind of leave it open for people to make their own idea.
Well, I mean, here you have AIDS being created to
teach
raise
judgment.
The level of consciousness through judgment, you know, so why not? We have things like that are done on a mass level to raise our consciousness. So.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really probably ultimately what we have to look at. Things are happening on a big scale. They're trying to hit a mass number of people to raise their consciousness.
That's why even when we look at things like war, they're terrible what people are doing to each other. But what are you getting from that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
The one thing you don't want to get into fear. Mm-hmm. That was my last session I just had. They came through and they said, this planet is so full of fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fear-based planet, and you have to get away from that.
Right.
So just because something is different and unusual, you don't want to go to the fear. This is where we're starting to look at things from a different perspective, to see what it's trying to teach us. Because look at, I know, I was alive during World War II, and it was a horrible situation. And a lot of terrible things were done. We were trying to learn not to have any war again.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have never had anyone as bad as that one was. But at least we've learned something,
mm-hmm.
learned some tolerance from it. And everything that happens like that is trying to teach us something. And I think we're getting, and I hope we are, we're moving on.
Well, you can tell we're moving. We're moving in a positive direction. And the majority, I mean, you know, our consciousness is in a totally different place than it was even 10 years ago,
oh,
20
definitely.
Years ago, 30. You keep going back like that, you see how much we've grown. And we're not the same people at all.
No.
I mean,
That's what they told me in the session. They said everything is moving so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is changing. The energies and the frequencies are changing so fast. There's no room for judgment anymore.
No, it has to go out. In fact, they said judgment will hold you here. It's that will bring you in so fast. It's like it will stop your growth. Bam! Just
stop
like
you
that.
From ascending.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is another one.
Yes.
Karma.
But judgment is a form of fear. See, those are
it is. Yeah.
Fear-based. Yeah.
You're afraid of other people because
mm-hmm.
they're different.
Right.
We travel so much, it's like, I said, if more people traveled, there wouldn't be war. There wouldn't be the violence. We'd see we're right. all just alike.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We all want the same things. Mm-hmm. People want to have a family. They want to raise it. They want to have a good job to bring in money. They're living a life. Mm-hmm. They don't want war. They don't want all this destruction stuff. So I tell people to just look at things and ask a lot of questions and try to understand it and see where everything is coming from. Love is the strongest emotion there is, and we've been told it's the only thing that's real.
That's right.
We got to see beyond this illusion. So the idea of the backdrop people, now every time I'm in a crowd, I'm thinking, they're all backdrop people. Because if you notice, sometimes they seem oblivious to you. They just walk going around doing their own thing.
Right.
It'll give you something else to think about. As I said, in my books, I like to throw out mind candy. Something for you to chew on and to just think about it. But then you got to put the book down and go back to your regular life. So it's just something, an idea. Who knows what it will spark.
Right.
Okay, well, we're coming to the end again. That was pretty fast. Mm-hmm. So we'll be back next week before we leave on our trip again. So we'll be back here next week. Anybody who wants to call in is welcome to. I don't know what we're going to talk about. Probably some more questions that have come in. But anyway, thanks everybody for listening. And good night.
Make it great.